This week's message is titled, The Holy Spirit and Us. Songs for this week's message are Oceans, Where Feet May Fail, Forever, We Sing Hallelujah, and Called Me Higher. There are links to hear these songs in the video description. Thank you to Kristen, Tim, Don, and Jeff for being part of this service at the front, and also to those in support roles. You're making it possible to meet together in person, and my prayer is that God will richly bless your ministry. On a personal note, thank you to everybody who's been praying for my recovery and healing following my bike accident. Your encouraging messages have really meant a lot. The scripture reading is Romans 8, 1-11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you.
Good morning, and thank you for coming today. I'm going to start today with a prayer from the Bible. This is Paul's prayer for spiritual growth, and it's in Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people would, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all the glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, so welcome, and there are some announcements, of course. What an exciting year. So, yeah, we're thankful for the arrival of Matthew, Larry, B, and Jacob, Paul, and that's grandsons for John and Glennis, and I'm sorry, Val's not here today. She was here last week. We're a great-grandchild for Val. That's pretty awesome. You might have heard Adam fell on his bike and broke his collarbone. So we're praying for Adam. We're praying for Jenny's family, for Debbie's mom, for Lori. Kathleen is pretty much recovered. Yeah, she's in remission. We're grateful for that. Woohoo! Joyce and Ralph Perry, Kristen's friend, and Vanessa's mom. We're praying for several families there that have lost loved ones and their families. And yeah, please keep those people in your prayers. Some situations there that God knows and we need to be mindful of and prayerful for. If I could interject to myself under the title of prayer requests, Kara's flying right now. She left Taiwan probably 6 or 7 hours ago, and she'll be arriving in Toronto tonight. So that's one. Also, if I could interject on prayer requests, it's going to be a very special year for all schools and workplaces, as you know. And Great Lakes is particularly vulnerable this year with the situation. Right now, the government is saying if you had a student visa before March 18, you're welcome to come in or come back in. But if you didn't, then you're not welcome. And you may or may not know that Great Lakes really, really relies on new international students every year in order to survive. So please pray for the situation that new international students will be able to come in. And or we have a backup plan where possibly they could be studying online in their own country or home, whether it's Toronto or Taipei. They could be studying there, and maybe the first month or two of the semester that they would be an online student. So either way, it's a difficult situation for the school. Again, welcome everybody. Do you have an announcement?
Diane called this morning and she's not feeling very well. Kind of an upset stomach and a little bit of fevers and chills. So she didn't ask for prayers, but I think she's going to go get tested just in case.
Very wise. Yeah, let's pray for Diane. Hope she feels better. bless her heart. She's kept in touch with me and with others, I assume, through this lockdown when we weren't allowed to get together. She did call. She's one of the people that reached out to call and keep in touch. So yeah, bless her heart. She's wonderful. Yeah. So again, welcome. stay healthy.
Good morning to all. Thank you for being with us today. Bart reminded me this past week, and I had to write this down so I remember to say it. And this is something that's been on probably all of our minds now for a while. That we're delighted to have you with us today, but our thoughts are also with people of our congregation and community who would very much love to be with us, but because of health and circumstances, are just not able to do that just yet. So we're praying for them, and I would encourage you to continue to do that. We're a congregation, whether we're here in body or not, but we're definitely here in spirit, so we're thinking of those people. If someone were to ask you, do you have a relationship with God? I think many of us would say, yes, I do. I have a relationship with God. And if someone were to ask you, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Again, I think most of us would say, yes, I do. And if you were asked the question, do you have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit? Many of us, or some of us, would say what I said this week, trying to answer that question. Do I have a relationship with God? Yes. Do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Yes. Donnie, do you have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit? I said, oh, I've never really thought about that. Do I have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit? And yet, it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to have a relationship with God and with Jesus. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Or when Paul says in 2 Corinthians, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you all. A relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not sure, excuse me, of your personal experience growing up in the church, if you did grow up in the church, and I did, I grew up in a church, but I never heard anything about the Holy Spirit. And if there was any kind of discussion regarding the Holy Spirit, it was quickly ended. It was squashed. As one person said, I remember very vividly when I was a young boy, we don't talk about that here. Can you imagine saying that about God? We don't talk about God here in this church. It's ridiculous. We don't talk about Jesus here in this church. What? But somehow it got into the minds of people. Well, just don't talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's too dangerous. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And yet, the Bible is full of God's Holy Spirit and the relationship that we have with Him. I was taught that once the Scriptures were complete, the Bible, the Scriptures were all we needed, and the Holy Spirit was just sort of pushed into the background. We don't really need the Holy Spirit because we have the Bible, and we can read in the Bible what we need and how to live. And yet, as we've just read, Paul is reiterating in a powerful way that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who has been encouraging us from the moment we were born to know God and to know Jesus and to know Him even better. Jesus spoke eloquently regarding the Godhead, and He spoke profoundly always of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And I love that passage that Paul says, "Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the relationship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And as we know, the Holy Spirit has a profound personality. Probably the first New Testament book that was actually written wasn't any of the Gospels. It wasn't Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. When they put the Bible together, they put those books together at the beginning because it's the story of Jesus told by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first New Testament book that was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Galatia. And it's a powerful book because it's talking about cultures coming together as one. And how do you live in a spiritual way when one culture followed all the old law constantly and continually, and another culture didn't have much regard for the old law, for the special festivals and feasts? And how do you draw people together? How do you come all together? And so Paul relies on reminding these people in the province of Galatia that there is a Holy Spirit who is working in our lives, always at work, uniting us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And my opinion is, He's never stopped doing that. Unity coming because of God's Holy Spirit working in our lives. And Paul describes to new Christians in Galatia the personality of the Holy Spirit. And how would you love to be described this way? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I'm not suggesting that that's the exhaustive list. Paul is giving us some of the personality traits of God's Holy Spirit, who has always been at work in our lives, nudging us closer and closer to God the Father and God the Son, and reaching out to people around and bringing people to Christ Jesus. And so Jesus Himself spoke eloquently regarding the Godhead and us. One of the last things Matthew records Jesus saying in his gospel, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples," Christians, "of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always." And we don't have time to do this morning, but the disciples responded earlier, and this is found in John's gospel and another gospel as well, when the disciples were saying, "But Jesus, you're talking about leaving. When you leave, how are we ever going to remember everything that you've taught us?" Do you remember what Jesus said? "The Holy Spirit will guide you and help you to remember everything I've said to you and everything that I have taught you. The Holy Spirit will guide you every step of the way. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you," said God the Father, said Jesus the Son, and says the Holy Spirit. I don't think I've ever offered a prayer to the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about that the other day. I think sometimes when I'm talking to God, I make reference to the Holy Spirit, saying, "God, I'm going to be preaching on the Holy Spirit. Could you please help me with this?" And in my prayer, I hope you don't think this is sacrilegious, I almost felt like Jesus was laughing. "Well, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to help you? If the Holy Spirit is in you, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to help you?" Which I have been doing for this past week. Nobody would give it a second thought to say, "Well, I talked to Jesus this week, I prayed. Fantastic. Well, I talked to the Lord this week. Great. Well, I've talked to the Holy Spirit this week." Really? I just wonder how often we set the Holy Spirit aside, not that we have to, but just to, just because we want to. Just to say, "Holy Spirit, however this works, I want to know you better. I want to immediately recognize how you're working in my life." And so I really appreciate what Paul had to say. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the relationship with the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. And then, of course, on that day of Pentecost, Luke writes in the book of Acts how the Holy Spirit was constantly at work. That when Jesus was raised from the dead and he departed from the earth, the disciples all gathered together wondering what to do, what should we do? And they were reminded of what Jesus said, to go into Jerusalem. And then this Pentecost begins, and all of a sudden, Peter begins to preach in a powerful way so that people from all different parts of the world can understand what he's saying. And he's talking about God's Holy Spirit. And at the end of this magnificent sermon, and I love the passage where he says, "Men and women of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which he performed before you, as you yourselves know. And he was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, for it was impossible for death to keep its grasp on him." And then the people responded, "So what do we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." And what else did he say? "And you will receive the gift, the Holy Spirit." This powerful part of the Godhead, always at one with God the Father and God the Son. So I go back to the beginning in my conclusion. If someone were to ask you, "Do you have a relationship with God?" we would say, "Absolutely." "Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ?" "Yes." "Do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit?" I hope we will say, "Yes." He is the one who has allowed us to have a relationship with God the Father and God the Son. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So I conclude this message by reading a passage from Romans chapter 8 and just a few selective verses. You may want to jot these down if you want. I don't necessarily want them on PowerPoint because Kristen doesn't even know which ones I'm going to be reading. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says this: "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Holy Spirit, who gives life, has set you free." So if we're always debating about the Holy Spirit, there is very little freedom in debate. It is the acknowledgement that God's Holy Spirit has moved us to have faith in God and to have faith in Christ, who sets us free, who gives us part of His personality, which is love, joy, peace, and on, and full of grace. And then, in verse 11, he says, "And if the Holy Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Holy Spirit who lives in you." Do you have a relationship with God?
Yeah.
Do you have a relationship with Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And those many times when we aren't as close to the Father and aren't as close to Jesus, what happens to bring us back? It's God's Holy Spirit. Always, always at work in bringing us into relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and with you, and with all of us. May God bless you, and especially this week, may you experience the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit.
Once upon a time, I would have adjusted my tie, but indulge you, I adjust my mask here. Audience participation time. How many of you have seen the comment? I've got a blank stare over there. I've got one little hand. How many of you, the comment, how many of you can see the comment? Let me adjust that up. Is that better?
Comment.
Okay, so you all have a task to go on the internet and take a look at the pictures, at least on the internet. But we've been graced with the spectacle of a comet for the last few weeks, and maybe for another week or two before it fades back into the depths of space. It's been pretty spectacular in the media. You can see some pretty amazing pictures, but it's nothing like seeing it over the water of Lake Ontario with your own eyes. The comet follows something we call a law of physics. After it was discovered and it was tracked for a few days, scientists could easily predict where it was going to go, what it was going to do, and all we needed to do was wait and see if it survived going around the sun without breaking up to tell whether it would have the kind of behavior that it has, which is the best comet, they say, since the 1990s. So in 30 years or so. Fortunately for us, it didn't break up, but these laws of physics told us what was going to happen. We knew exactly how it was going to behave. We're confident in the way that things happen in natural laws. Water flows downhill. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. All you have to do is spend time with a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old to find that out. Back and forth. But it turns out that the laws of humans and the laws of God are no less predictable than the laws of nature. We can know what behavior is like because basic laws of God and humanity don't change. Paul speaks to us in Romans 8, picking up on what Don had to talk about. In verse 1, he says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." There's no condemnation. Some translations put the "therefore" at the start, some move it. But almost universally, when I looked at it, that word condemnation is used by almost everybody. Only the paraphrases changed it. The sentence no longer holds sway. Condemnation, that word that's there, talks about a sentence because something has gone wrong. And it usually means a bad sentence, not a light one. But Paul says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The sentence no longer holds sway. The account book has been settled once and for all. Now, of course, Paul has a much larger argument. We just dropped into the middle, and that's why it starts with the word "therefore." He's reminded us that the trespass of that first man has resulted in universal condemnation. We share Adam's sinful nature. Then the law came, the law of Moses, if you like, as a measuring stick. And the problem was, we could and we can't live up to that measuring stick. Paul calls the deeper law that Moses came to try and show us the law of sin and death. There's a lot of laws that Paul likes to talk about. He says we were captive to this law of sin, and the consequence of that was death. It's really a law of human nature and human failing that we always want the shortcut to all the things that will make us happy. If I got just that one more thing that I don't have, I'd be happy. Whether it's money, whether it's security and ease of life, whether it's respect, authority, we're just like Adam. We want to take the shortcut. All those things we run after without, just like Mick Jagger, ever getting satisfaction. But Paul says, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And then he says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That old law of human nature, our sinful selves, it resulted in death. But look at what the Spirit brings. The Spirit is the Spirit of life. It's the exact opposite. And so, we brought on ourselves the consequences of the law of sin, that of death. But praise be to God that He gave us a gift. And the gift brings life. It's no coincidence that the gift came with a terrible price. That price was one who was not subject to that old law of sin and death, who could triumph over death. And later on, Paul says, Jesus condemned death itself, so that the condemnation was no longer on us, but the condemnation was on death. So at this time, we meet to remember the fact that he triumphed over that old law, that we now have a new law in the Spirit, and that law is a life-giving law. He went to Calvary once for all. Once upon a time, one man sinned, and that resulted in universal condemnation. But now, one man has given us a gift, and that results in universal freedom and universal life for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you saw fit to send your Son to give his life up in our stead. Father, that you bless us with the gift of the Spirit that gives us life, so we no longer live under the law of sin and death, but rather the law of the Spirit that gives us life. We thank you that you raised him to newness of life, and that that was a promise for us, that we too will experience that. Thank you now as we break this bread to remember his body, that he came in the flesh to overcome the weakness of the flesh. In his name and in the name of the Spirit, we pray to you, Father. Amen. The old law resulted in death. Paul has used an analogy earlier in this book about a married woman. He says, for as long as her husband is alive, she is bound to that husband. It takes the death to break that bond. It took a death to break the bond of our slavery to the law of sin. It took the death of his Son. At Jesus' death, we were freed to marry another. We became his bride when we were joined to him at baptism, because we too died and were given a new life in the Spirit. Paul says it's no longer us that's condemned, but rather sin that's been condemned. What a message we have to proclaim to the world. And I started by talking about the comet and the idea of laws are immutable. Just as the comet is captive to the sun's gravity, we were captive to the law of sin. And the consequence of being measured against that law was that we came up short and we're unable to overcome the entanglement of sin. And the consequence was death. We're still under a law, but the new law is the law of the Spirit. We're still slaves to God. But this time, we're slaves whose goal is life. And as Paul says, we have moved on from the law of sin to the law of the Spirit, and the Spirit always gives life. Christ gave himself up, conquering sin, so that a different Son's law could reign in our lives, the law of Spirit and life. Let's go to God again. Father, we thank you as we drink from this cup. We remember that it required blood to wash away sins. And we remember that it was his blood that was the once and sufficient sacrifice. Thank you that he was so willing to give himself up because he saw in your gift to us a relationship that was like the one that you had. And he wanted more than anything for us to be part of that. We thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name.
I'd like to thank you once again for joining us this morning, and we're so blessed that the province has opened up a little bit. And there's been some good news in the long-term homes that some of the family members are going to be able to see their loved ones that they've been separated from for a very long time. And the regulations for testing are going to be a little different. That's going to enable them to get a little bit closer to them. And in speaking with a lot of people who have family members that are in long care homes, they've noticed a decline in their family members. So when we pray, let's remember the family members and the caregivers and the people that are missing their loved ones that are really hurting during this isolation. It's been really tough on an awful lot of people. Just before we go to God in prayer, I'm going to say the prayer, and then we're going to exit from the back outside, and we ask you if you're going to meet with your friends, just to meet with them out on the grass, and to just make sure you practice proper social distancing. And when I get back to the computer, I'll be putting a video on it that we can listen to as we're leaving. Let's go to God in prayer now. Dear Father, we thank you for the blessings you have given us, for the new babies born, for reuniting with family, for being able to worship with you today. We ask you to be with those who are mourning loved ones, for those who are fighting illness and injury, for those who feel alone and isolated. Be with us, guide our ways, that we would honor you in all that we do. Thank you for your grace and forgiveness. Thank you for your love and comfort. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.